Now, good morning. How is everyone? Good. We're just celebrating our 250th anniversary of our freedom, us as a country. I know that we started as a godly country because 55 Christians and one Catholic signed the Declaration of Independence to be a godly country. And if you want to know that one Roman Catholic, his name's Charles Carroll. I don't think there was any Nazarenes in there, but there were some Protestants and the rest of the, maybe some Baptists, but no. But of the 56, they were all godly men. Even George Washington himself, one of the first things that he told his troops, first, I want you to be a Christian. Secondly, a patriot. And that's where we need to be today. This 250 years of freedom has come with a price. We've had 5 declared wars. That brings us up to World War II. And 36 major conflicts, including Vietnam, 10 years. In my family, my grandfather served in World War I. My grandfather served in World War II. My sister and I served in the Vietnam conflict. Because we all thought that you were worth it. My brothers and sisters, my fellow Americans, you were worth it. We have more freedom than a lot of countries. In the last 12 months in Nicaragua, almost 5,000 Christians were killed, murdered. I seen some of the videos. They tied them all up in the middle of the church and set the whole church on fire. The men and women that served our country, that lost their lives, thought you were worth it. I had a couple uncles that lost on the USS Indianapolis. They were boiler men. Dan Dickerson could tell you that because he was a boiler man in the Navy. That means you were in the bottom of the ship. And when the ship went down, you was the first to go. But even Dan thought you were worth it. One of the struggles that I think that we had was in 1962. And they said, in a roundabout way, we don't need prayer in our school. We don't need the Bible in our schools. We don't need God in our schools. There's one thing that I've found out in my life. I need God. So I declare today, my dependence on God. Because I don't know about you, but I've had things in my life that just shake you to the core. A couple I think of offhand is I had a 9-year-old granddaughter. She died of an asthma attack. Nothing I could do but depend on God. The one thing that I stand on, He told me He has her. And I'm good with that. When my wife goes to the eye doctor and they tell her they got a disease in her eyes, all I can do is trust God. Totally depend on Him. But in that dependence on God, when I come to a situation and I say, oh no, what am I going to do? I'm going to do the same thing I did last time. I want to depend on God. And I got a few scriptures to tell us why. Philippians 4:19. Up there? Yeah. And my God will meet all your needs. And let's just stop right there. We're not just talking about money. We're not just talking about physical things. Because I know, like you and me both, today we have needs. And God's our supply house. Because He says He will meet all your needs according to His riches and glory. That's Bible. That's something we can count on. I can go into all things knowing that God's going to supply the needs that I need. And He also knows that sometimes I ask for things that I don't really need. But He knows. He knows. Let's go to the next. Hebrews 13:5-6. Keep your lives free from the love of money. I'm not saying it's okay. It's not okay to have money. That is okay. It's good. It's great. But when we depend on that money over God, sometimes we have a hard time giving to the church because we want to hold on to our money. Because we believe that's our source. And we're scared to give it away because we don't think we're going to get any more of it. But when you depend on God as your source, you can freely give. And it's not always money. We can give each other love. We can give each other friendship that we want to hold back because we don't understand that God is the source of all that. The freedom we have today is from Jesus Christ. He is our source. And I am totally dependent on Him. And when we can get ourselves to that point, in that rest, and that's not inactivity rest, even when the storms are brewing in my life, I have rest because I depend on Jesus Christ. Be content with what you have. Because God has said, and it will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Never. Is the important word there. Never. The only bad part about that he's there when we sin. And he sees our sin. And it's like we hang him back up on the cross again. Time after time. Would you watch some of the things you said and did knowing that Jesus Christ was there? Because he is. He just told us right there, he never will leave us, never forsake us. In Matthew 28, he says, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. And we're about there. So we say in confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Well, they can throw me in jail. They can kill me. But that only puts me closer to my heavenly home. An eternity with Christ. And I want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. They can't do nothing to us. We have a guaranteed heavenly home. Here we go. Here, this tells us the whole thing. Romans 8, 23, or 32. I'm dyslexic this morning. He, talking about God, we're talking about God here. He who did not spare his own son, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, but gave him up for all of us. How will he not also, along with him, along with Jesus Christ, graciously give us all things? Every one of you sitting here today is blessed. Blessed. We live in a great country. We have our freedom. But if that's taken away, what you going to do? I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust in God. So So he will graciously give us all things. All things. Moving through these quick. Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to stay in Matthew chapter 6 for a little bit. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and your body more than clothes? I have a story. Very true story. When it's come real to me in my life. In 1997, the Department of Corrections in the good state of Kentucky asked me to have a visit with them. And for me to stay for a while. So nice of them. I know. And they made it in a way where I couldn't refuse it, because they came to my house, they put a banner around the whole house and said everything they took. Everything. My money. Everything they took. And asked me to come stay with them. Not everything's free, and that's what we're going to get to. So I only had on basically the socks and underwear that I had when they arrested me. Of course, they give you a nice little orange jumpsuit. And with one pair of socks and underwear, I was doing pretty good. They at least gave me a bar of lye soap. Because you had to go 90 days without any money on your books before they would give you anything. So I was washing my socks out in the sink. And that was okay, because I only did laundry once a week. And I'd say that was okay while I wasn't working, but then they put me on a job detail. Hey, dollar and quarter a day. But as the time went on, it wasn't very long that I came to the point where I was going to have to go out to work with work boots on, with either a wet pair of socks or none at all. And I come across this scripture here, and it says, don't worry about your clothes. So I went out with wet socks one day, and that's not a good thing. The next day, I went out with no socks. And I thought, God, you just told me not to worry about clothes. I'm going out with no socks on today. We worked at a park. And one good thing that Kentucky did do is they had all the people that were incarcerated, they separated trash, they cleaned up trash, they mowed, we did things like that. And as we was separating the trash from the dumpsters that day, with no socks on, as I was separating the trash, I opened up a bag. And I pulled out a bag that hadn't been opened. It had a whole dozen pair of socks in it. And then I pull out another one. Whole another dozen of socks, never been opened. Another Ziploc baggie with some clean, used socks, 6 or 8 pair. Thank you, Lord. So I went from every day going out with no socks, and I wore two pair of socks back in. And this is how our God works, because not only did I have socks for myself, but it gave me a little trading material that I could get some other things that I needed. It was right then that I knew I had a God that had committed Himself to take care of me. And I totally became dependent on Jesus Christ in my life. And instead of having a lot of those hard roads, a lot of those up and down roads, it just went. I'm at peace. I'm at rest. Because I allow God to work in my life. And I say, I'm willing. Here I am. Use me. In the fourth chapter of James, it says that we don't have because we don't ask. James 7 says, ask and you will receive. So maybe it's got to do with my prayer life. Did I finish that one up? Yeah. Maybe it has something to do with my prayer life. When anybody asks me or tells me that, hey, I want to start reading the Bible, where should I start? Let's start with the letters in red. Let's start with the words of Jesus. And He gives us a little hint about prayer. And I know since He died on the cross and the veil was torn and we no longer have to go to the high priest, we can go directly to God and I can pray on my knees. I can pray standing, walking, whatever I'm doing, I can be praying. And God hears me. And look what He says here in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 6. I'm going to let you guys look at it too. Sorry. 6-8. This may be something we better be paying attention to, because these are Jesus' words. And listen to what He tells us to do. But when you pray, that's not if you pray, when you pray, go into your room. And close the door. It's one-on-one with God now. And pray to your Father who sees what is done in secret and will reward you. And when you pray, again, not if you pray, when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. And do not be like them. It's as easy as saying, Jesus, help me. I don't know what to do. all the words it takes. Because your Father in heaven knows what you need before you even ask. We always look up there when we pray, but He's right here, so we need to look here. Father, I don't know what to do. Let's try. Let's make a commitment to work on our prayer life as a church family. As brothers and sisters in Christ, give. Build up. The worst thing that grieves the Holy Spirit more than anything else is how we treat each other. Is God your source? Are you dependent on God? Or are you dependent on this world? Because if you look out there, the world's fallen. We better get our dependence on God. You guys come up with them. Come to the throne of grace this morning. Declare your dependence on Him. Because you'll fail on your own. I know, because I've tried. You'll fail. You'll be stuck. Don't be stuck.